Long time ago, there was a chassid. The story doesn't say his name. Let's call him Reb Shmuel, just so we have a name for him. And his rebbe was the Koznitzer Rebbe, the Magid of Koznitz, the Koznitzer Magid, a great tzaddik. And this chassid would once in a while go to be by his rebbe, to hear the Torah from his rebbe and be close to his rebbe and receive the bracha of his rebbe. And Kenalach, this time before he went, his wife was crying, because even though Baruch Hashem they were very happy and they had so many brachas from Hashem and so many things, they had a good parnaseh and they were very happy and they had a beautiful home and they had enough money and they gave a lot of tzedakah, but they did not have a baby, they did not have a child. And his wife said, Reb Shmuel's wife said, this time you must go to the Koznitzer Magid and you must ask him for a bracha for a child, because it's been so many years we don't have a baby. Please ask the Rebbe for a bracha. And Reb Shmuel goes to the Koznitzer Rebbe, the Koznitzer Magid, and he has a yechidus that he goes by himself to the Rebbe, and he cries and he says, my wife and I please would like a bracha for a baby because we don't have any children. And the Koznitzer Magid put his hands down on his and the Koznitzer Magid put his head down on his hands, and he was thinking for a while, and he looked up at Reb Shmuel and he said, Reb Shmuel, the only way that you will be able to have a bracha for a baby is if you will become a beggar. You will have to become a beggar and wander around and become very poor and beg for money. This is what you must do. Go and discuss this with your wife. And if you agree to this, this will open up the gate for the bracha to have a baby. But in case you will not do this, the gate will be closed. And Kenalav, this came as a big surprise to Reb Shmuel, and he didn't know why, and he did not ask why, and the Koznitzer Magid did not explain why. But the main thing was not the why. The main thing was, if he does this, somehow he will have the bracha from Hashem. And he traveled all the way home, and he told his wife what the Magid of Koznitz said. And right away she said, look, if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. But life is not worth it unless we have a little baby. And Reb Shmuel went back, and he told their decision to the Koznitzer Magid that he accepts the life of a beggar if in that way they'll have a baby. And then the Magid of Koznitz said to Reb Shmuel, you must now set out on a long trip to another tzaddik that I'm going to send you to, the Choyze of Lublin. The word Choyze means one who sees. The Choyze could see with Ruach HaKodesh, and he lived in a place called Lublin, and it was very far away. And Reb Shmuel said, of course, I will go, and on the way I will have to beg for what I need. And it took a long time, it was a long trip, and Reb Shmuel now goes all the way to Lublin, to the Choyze of Lublin, the great tzaddik. And he goes and has yechidus now with the Choyze of Lublin. And he tells him what's happening, and he tells him what the Koznitzer Magid told him, and what he's doing, and he's becoming a beggar, and that he needs a bracha for a baby. And now the Chayzev Lublin looks right into the eyes of Reb Shmuel, and he says, I will now tell you the reason why you were not yet zeicha to have a baby, and why the gate is closed to the Himmel for that bracha. And I'll tell you why, and please listen. Chayza says, do you remember a long time ago, many, many, many years ago, before you married your wife, many years before that, do you remember that you promised another lady that you were going to marry her? And right away, Reb Shmuel remembered that when he was very young, he made a promise to a certain young lady that he was going to marry her. And he said to the Chayuz of Lublin, yes, I did make such a promise, but when I got older, I left that place, and I just forgot all about it. I mean, you know, I left, and I never married her, and we were very young, and I went away, and then later on, I met my wife. But the Chayuz said, but you promised that lady that you were going to marry her, right? And then you left without even saying anything to her. Is that right? And Reb Shmuel said, yes, I do remember that. And the Chayza said, the first lady was really the lady you were supposed to marry. And you promised her you were going to marry, and then all of a sudden you took off. As soon as you left, without saying anything to the first lady, the gate to the bracha to have a baby was closed for you. Hashem closed it shut, closed it tight, and there was a gzeira in the Himmel that you would never have a baby. Even if you would marry somebody else, because you were supposed to marry the first lady, because that's who you promised. And you never said anything, you just left. And Reb Shmuel started to cry because he felt so terrible that he remembered all of that. But the Chayza said, nothing stands in front of tshuva, and you will be able to do tshuva for what you did, but you have to go and find the first lady and ask her mechila. You know what mechila is? Who knows what mechila is? Who could tell me?
Tshuva.
Well, mechila is a part of tshuva. What is it asking mechila from someone?
To forgive you.
To forgive you. To say I'm sorry. You say I'm sorry to somebody if you did something wrong, and they say I forgive you, that's called mechila. You ask them for mechila. Because if you do something wrong to somebody, you have to ask them forgiveness. You have to say I'm sorry to them. If we know Yom Kippur is the day that Hashem wipes away all the Avedas. But Erev Yom Kippur, you have to call somebody or go to somebody if you knew you were not nice to them, you did something wrong, and you have to say, I'm sorry. And then Hashem will forgive you, because there's between people, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and then there's between you and Hashem, Bein Adam L'Makom. If you did something wrong to your friend, you have to say, I'm sorry. And the Chayza said, if you find this woman and you ask, I'm sorry, and she forgives you, then the gate will open up for you and your wife that you're married to now to have a baby. But you must go and find this woman and say, I'm sorry for what you did. And she has to be moichel you. She has to give you mechila, forgive you. And Reb Shmuel said, I'll do whatever I have to do. Where will I find her? I haven't seen her for so many years. And the Chayza said, you will find her in the town called Balta, which is very far away. Travel there, and of course do what the Kozner Zermaget said, you have to be a beggar, and you will beg for what you need all the way there and travel. You will travel far, far away to the town of Balto, and you will beg for what you need, and over there you will find this lady. And now Rebbe Shmuel sets out on the long trip to Balta. And he spends many days and many weeks on the road, begging for his food, sleeping under a tree, or in a cave, or in an open field somewhere, and maybe he has enough money to go into a little hotel somewhere by the side of the road. And finally, he reaches the town of Balta. And he knows the name of this lady. And he starts asking, where does this lady live? Such and such a lady, whatever her name was. Shh. And they said, we never heard that name of anybody with that name, a lady with that name. We don't know anybody living in Balta with that name. And he went to different places. He went to stores. Do you know this lady, where she lives? No, we never heard of her. She doesn't live here because nobody heard of her. And he asked all around. Nobody ever heard of this lady. And he asked and he asked and he went around and he asked and he looked and he walked the street and he looked at everyone's face to see maybe this is the lady, maybe that's the lady. He never saw the lady. And he spent days and weeks in Balta. So why did he stay there if nobody knew the lady? Because he said, the Chayzeb Lublin, a Helik Tzadik with Ruach HaKodesh told me, this is where I'm going to find the lady. So I'm going to keep trying and I won't give up. And especially if the bracha for my own baby depends on finding this lady and asking her to forgive me. And of course, I do feel bad about what I did, says Reb Shmuel. Shh. In Kenilof, he rented a little room that he could pay a few pennies for. And he went around begging and looking and searching for this lady week after week. Until one day, of course, any good story that goes on like this has such a thing that one day something's going to happen that didn't happen yet. Because Kenilof, that's the way it is by Hashem. Things go and go sometimes for a long time, and then all of a sudden, one day, things change. Like right now. We're still in Galus, another day in Galus. We've been in Galus for 2,000 years or more, and we're waiting for Mashiach to take us there to Israel. And all of a sudden, one day, it's going to happen. As you see, all these stories, one day, something happens, a good thing. One day, Mashiach will come, take us out of Galus. There'll be the Geula. We'll go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe once said, when the clouds come to take us, you know how long it's going to take us? It could take us, it could happen like this in the clouds, 14 minutes from Galus to Eretz Yisrael. From here to Eretz Yisrael, 14 minutes. By the end of lunch, by the time you bench, it'll be by the base of Mikdash. And then Yerushalayim in 14 minutes. Anyway, one day, and in one time, in one second sometimes, things happen. One day, Reb Shmuel is walking the streets like usual, and all of a sudden, it starts to get dark and very cloudy, and the wind is blowing, and he looks up and he sees big, thick rain clouds in the sky, and everybody's looking up, a sudden storm is coming in the sky, and it's going to be a big rain. And all of a sudden, big rain and thunder and lightning. All of a sudden, a flood is just coming down. A quick rain is coming down, pouring out of the sky. And people start running to get out of the rain. Some of them run into stores, and some of them run under, like, you know, it's an awning, a thing that sticks out in front of the store, and they're waiting there. And the closest place for Reb Shmuel to run was in front of a store, like a big roof, like a big umbrella kind of a roof, sticking out, and it was dry under there. And he runs under there to get out of the rain. And he notices that right next to him, nearby, are two ladies that also ran in there to get out of the rain. And he happens to notice one of them is dressed in very beautiful, special, wealthy, rich kind of clothes with, you know, a very expensive kind of a dress and jewelry. He just happened to notice that. He didn't think about that too much. And then he's just looking out at the rain, and all of a sudden he hears one lady saying to the other lady, sort of behind his back, "Do you see that man standing there?" And the other lady says, "Yes." "Well, that man, many years ago, is the man that promised to marry me, and he never did. He left, and he broke his promise, and he left me sad and crying. That's the man that promised to marry me, and he never did. He's standing right there. And all these years, I never saw him until now. There he is." And as, of course, Reb Shmuel hears these words, he turns around, and then he recognizes that this lady who was speaking, and she was the one that was dressed in the very beautiful, wealthy clothes and the jewelry, this is the lady that he promised to marry many years ago, and this is the lady that he has been searching for all these weeks in Balta, and she's standing right there now. She had run out of the rain to get away from the rain, and she's standing right there. And he found her now. And he starts to cry, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry for what I did. I really did the wrong thing. I promised to marry you, and then time went on, and I just left, and I didn't do what I promised. And you should know that it's very, very not good for you, and also for me. I disappointed you, but for me, also, a very not good thing happened from that. That all these years, we haven't had a baby. I did marry somebody else, and we didn't have a baby because the gate is shut in the Himmel for that bracha because of what I did. And I feel so bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. I ask Mechila, please forgive me for what I did. I'm so sorry. The Chayes of Lublin told me that really I should have married you, but I didn't. And I left and I broke my promise. But because of what's already happened and all these years went by, all I can say is I'm sorry, please forgive me." And Reb Shmuel is crying. And then he looks at the lady, because she didn't say anything, and she's looking at him, and she says, "I am prepared to forgive you only on one condition." You know what's the condition? In other words, if you will do something that I want you to do, then if you will do something that I want you to do, then I will forgive you. But if you don't do this, I don't want to forgive you. You must do this thing for me. And the lady says, "I have a brother," and the story doesn't say the name of the brother, but let's just call him Reb Chaim so we don't get mixed up with all these people. "I have a brother who's in big trouble right now. I have a brother who's in big trouble. My brother and his daughter, terrible. And they need help. And this is what happened. My brother was supposed to make a chasana for his daughter because she wants to get married. She's a kalamadel. And they need 2,000 rubles for the wedding and for the chasana and kala to start their new life. And my brother had a terrible thing happen that he lost the money, and now they don't have the money to make the chasana, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's so sad. And the kala, his daughter, is so sad because they need the money to make the chasana and they lost it. It's gone. This is what I want you to do. You travel to my brother. You give him 2,000 rubles that he should be able to make the chasaneh for his daughter. And if you do this great favor for me and to help my brother and his daughter, then I will forgive you. But I need you to do this. And then I will forgive you. And Reb Shmuel says to the lady, well, is it possible maybe that you should go to your brother and you should give him the 2,000 rubles? Because Reb Shmuel thought that she must be a very wealthy lady, as she's dressed in such beautiful, expensive clothes. And why can't she go and she should give the money to his brother? Especially he's a beggar now and he doesn't have money. And she says, I'm sorry, I cannot travel to my brother now and I cannot give him 2,000 rubles. And that's why you must do it. And if you do it, I'll forgive you. And Kinalach, as she was saying this, she walked out into the rain down the road. And now Reb Shmuel thinks to himself, uh-oh, wait a minute. Her brother's Reb Chaim. I know his last name. Where does he live? Where will I find him? And he runs down the road to follow her, to ask her, where does her brother live? And as he's running down the road, he does not see her. It's just like she disappeared in the rain. Well, she must be somewhere. I mean, she just walked away a minute ago, and she wasn't walking fast. And he looks all around, and he can't find her. He thinks she must have gone into some building or some place, and he cannot find her. But he says, look, I'll ask around, I'll ask people where this man is, and I'll have to go from place to place, and I will find the man. And I'll also have to beg for 2,000 rubles to save up such money. It's a lot of money, but I have to do it. And he set out now, Kinalach, on the long road to the next town. And he goes in that town and he says, do you know Reb Chaim, so-and-so, the last name, whatever it was? And people said, I don't know. Well, Reb Chaim is in big trouble. Can you give a ruble or some money for his daughter to get married? And now he's not only got to collect for his own food, because he's a beggar himself, Reb Shmuel, he's got to collect for Reb Chaim and his daughter. So he goes around from town to town begging and collecting money and saving whatever he can until finally somebody knew this Reb Chaim and where he lives. And this is also far away. This story is full of long trips. And Reb Shmuel now goes from place to place, from town to town, on the long trip to this Reb Chaim, and it takes a few weeks, and he saves money, and he goes around to shuls, and he goes in the street, and he goes around to stores, and he goes to people's homes, door to door, collecting money, until finally, after weeks and weeks, he collected a bag of 2,000 rubles. And now he comes to the town of Reb Chaim. And he says to people, where is Reb Chaim's house? And people shake their head. Oh, you want to go to Reb Chaim's house? It's so sad. Well, I have to go to his house. And they said, well, if you would have come yesterday, it would have been a happy thing to go to Reb Chaim's house, because he's getting ready to make a wedding for his daughter. But now if you go to Reb Chaim's house, it's so sad. And Reb Shmuel says to people, what do you mean? And people say, well, Reb Chaim was all ready to make the chasaneh for his daughter, and she's getting ready for her wedding. And everybody's so happy. And everybody knows how Reb Chaim worked so hard to save the money for his daughter's chasaneh. But just last night was a terrible fire. Part of the house got burned up. And all the money they saved, we heard it was 2,000 rubles, got burned up in the fire. They lost all their money, and they lost a part of the house. Of course, they're upset about the fire in the house, but the main thing is, how can they make the wedding now? They lost all the money just last night in a fire. And Reb Shmuel thinks to himself, that's strange, that just last night they lost the money, when I've been collecting it for a few weeks already. Well, he doesn't think about it too much, because he knows that he's got to go, and he's got to find Reb Chaim and give him the money, and he's got to do this last thing. He's got to do this important thing, that he should have mechila from Reb Chaim's sister. Hope you're not getting mixed up from all the people and the names. And finally, he comes close to Reb Chaim's house, and he hears crying and screaming. First he hears a man's voice. Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey, oy, oy vey. And then he hears a girl's voice. Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. And then he hears a man's voice. I'm sorry, my daughter. Oh, we had such a beautiful wedding planned for you. And all the money thought got burned up. I don't know what we're going to do. And the girl says, hi, Tati, Mati. I feel bad for you. You worked so hard to save 2,000 rubles for my wedding. And it got burned up in the fire. And the man and the girl are crying. All of a sudden, they hear a knock on the door. Okay, let's everybody make 3 knocks on the door. Okay, finish. Knock. Okay, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Listen, they had a fire in the house, and the rest of the house is going to fall down if you keep knocking it down like that, so let them have the rest of the house at least, or else we're going to have to tell a whole new story about what happened to their house before the chasana. And that's not even in the story. And Reb Chaim comes to the door. You could tell it's Reb Chaim because his face was full of tears, and he was holding a big tissue in his hand, blowing his nose. Oh, who are you? What do you want? My name is Reb Shmuel. And Reb Chaim says, oh, I see you're a beggar. I'm sorry, I have no money to give you. And I'm in a very, very not good way. I'm very sad. I have no money to give you. Please go away. I can't help you today. And Reb Chaim starts to close the door. Reb Shmuel says, no, no, you don't understand. I didn't come to take money from you. I came to give you money. I came to help you. And Reb Chaim says, what? You came to give me my money? What do you mean? You look like a beggar. I should be giving you money. What do you mean you're giving me money? And Reb Shmuel says, well, I have something in my pocket for you. I've come to give it to you. What do you have for me? What could you possibly help me with now when I'm in such big trouble? And Reb Shmuel takes out of his pocket a big bag. He takes out a bag and he gives it to Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim looks in the bag. Oh, what's this? Oh, it looks like money. It's a lot of money. Reb Shmuel says, well, actually, it's 2,000 rubles. 2,000 rubles? That's exactly the amount of money that I lost yesterday in the fire that I wanted to make the chasana for my daughter with. Where did you get this money? Well, the last few months I've been collecting it for you. Well, what do you mean, the last few months you're collecting it for me? How do you know that I need money? And who are you to come and give me money and how do you know about what happened? This is such a surprise. Well, Rabbi Shmuel said, I collect this money because a few months ago, well, let me tell you the whole story, and maybe I'm a little bit embarrassed to tell you this, but let me tell you what happened. A long time ago, maybe you were a little boy, maybe you weren't even born yet because it was so many years ago, I had promised your sister to marry her. My sister? You mean you knew my sister? Yes, I knew your sister, and I promised to marry her, but I left, and I didn't do what I promised.